Welcome to part two of our interview with Volker Eisele from 2011.
I first learned about you a long time ago when I read the book Napa, The Story of an American Eden.
Yes.
And I've talked to a few people, very fortunate for me to meet Robin Lael and Rafael Rodriguez and a few other people from that book. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious about how you feel, especially looking at the political stories told in there, how you feel about how you were represented and how well the story was told.
Well, I can easily answer that. I think the book was extremely accurate. Not just a little bit accurate. Extremely. Now, some people perceived it to be tough. But it wasn't tough because, tell you what happened. This was the first time somebody came here and wanted to write about Napa Valley and didn't want to write a coffee table book. He held up a mirror and we looked into it. And so a few people didn't look too good in the mirror. But you know how litigious the American culture is, and you know how careful a publisher is. When you have so many living people being described in a book, you can safely assume there's potential for lawsuits. Mm-hmm. Endless lawsuits, right?
Yeah.
Everything was checked. There was not a single lawsuit. And, you know, he interviewed me. He comes with a tablet and a pencil and sits in my kitchen while I do the dishes. Now, I'm not an idiot. I know when a writer comes to me and writes down what I say, I'm going to be quoted. That's all there is to it. No. And there were some people maybe who were... Yeah, I don't think anybody was treated unfairly. Not a one. Because since I know all the guys in the book, or knew, some have died, like mm-hmm. Robert Mondavi.
Sure.
Do you remember the story of Robert Mondavi in the book, when they drive to Lodi? The author was in the car.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing about the book. There's so much first person that you wonder about as it goes.
But the vanity of our wine culture is such that when a writer comes and wants to write about it, people are only too eager. They want to be in it. Mm. I can quote one person. I will not give you the name. But they said, gosh, he was at our house. We wined the guy. We dined the guy. And now we are not even in the index.
That's called editing.
But, you know, here's the thing. Robert Mondavi, whom I greatly admired, I have to say, he had this approach to life. I don't give a damn what people say or write about me as long as they write about me and speak about me. And as a consequence, the whole world knows him.
Right.
Right?
He was the expert marketer of all time.
Yeah. I mean, no publicity is the worst thing that can happen to a human being. So you want to have any publicity.
That's just like they say, there's no such thing as bad press, generally speaking.
Right, right. The book was extremely accurate, and if you read it at all, my daughter is quoted in there.
Is she really?
Yeah.
I know that that Alex is talked about, and I don't remember him being quoted.
No,
yes,
he was not quoted in there, but my daughter was. And it's a 100% accurate quote. And what he wrote about me, it's true. Mm. I mean, he didn't make it up.
And there's so much detail in the book.
Yeah.
It's something you can't read once. As I said, I've already read it twice, and I'm getting ready for a third time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you have to go back over it, and,
yes.
And you have to digest it.
Right.
It was an interesting book. I mean, I learned a lot.
Yeah, and he wrote another one, right?
Right.
You should read that as well.
You know, that's a little harder to find, and I haven't gotten around to ordering it, but I do want to give it a try.
Yeah, you should read that.
The Other Side of Eden.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, it's more limited in scope, but it's relevant, mm-hmm. and it's still relevant. Mm-hmm. I mean, we still have problems. You know, the economic crisis now has sort of preoccupied all of us with selling wine, moving wine. But I'm sure when we pull out of the slump a little bit, the fighting will continue.
And that's the whole reason I brought up the book when you talked about pitting brother against brother, neighbor against neighbor. You really get that sense of how difficult that can be when you're sharing not only neighborhoods and values, but you're sharing a business and a goal to forward that business.
And you know, you're talking about lots of money at stake by now, huge investments. Now you have these multinational corporations here. It isn't a bunch of little farmers anymore.
No, lots of changes over the years. You've seen so many of them, especially, you know, going back to the 70s, the tasting of Paris and all the political change. And then obviously, as you say, this growth in the valley where people who are wanting to come west, who want to get out of places like the Midwest and colder temperatures.
But I tell you, the tasting in Paris, I mean, was nice and it helped. But it helped mostly Warren Wieniawski and his brand. But that wasn't the key to our success, as it is now being made. It's not.
Well, people like to rewrite history. I mean, I think they'll hang their hat on something like that. But it is certainly, it's not the linchpin, but it certainly was something that brought a lot of attention to this valley.
Yeah, but on the other hand, you know, anybody who has done wine tastings knows there isn't a wine tasting somebody can't win. I mean, we all can win wine tastings.
And they happen every day, and they happen all over the place. Day. And what's more important, a lot of these repeat tastings don't get the press.
Right. So, I mean, I would not put too much significance in that. If you want to have one event that did make a difference, that is the creation of the Winery Definition Ordinance, which we wrote in 1989-90. It's the first time that anywhere it was clearly spelled out what a winery is and what it can do. And what it also did was it put some physical limitations on a winery. That was revolutionary. It also did something. It said wineries on agricultural use, because this is senseless if we can't process our grapes, because what we really do is wine. And the question then was, what else can I do in a winery? Can I do weddings? Can I do other commercial activities? And we clearly decided no. There were some people in the industry who a couple of years ago reopened that. Mm-hmm. And we again said no. It's absolutely no. In agricultural areas, you do agriculture. And you might have heard there is a new bike trail being planned and proposed that is supposedly to go from the ferry in Vallejo all the way to Calistoga. Made it very clear, we love the trail idea, we love bicycles, but not on agricultural land. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be in the public right-of-way, not on agricultural land.
Good.
Yeah, but I'm giving you this as an example for these never-ending potential conflicts. Quite frankly, 10 years ago, I never thought there would be this issue of the bike trail coming through.
Well, I think when you live in a place like this, there's always a wolf at the door. You've already said that. And there's no place that goes without problems and trouble. But of course, when you have a place that's so public, so well-known around the world, your problems become that much more magnified.
Right.
And there's always going to be new groups coming in who are going to tell you what they think they know better.
Right.
So, but my hat's off to you and the job you've done. It's incredible, and it's done such a great job to preserve this valley. What I want to finish up with is talking about why we're here, and that's about the grape and what you grow.
Since our microclimate is closest to the Bordeaux area, we grow Bordeaux varietals. Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, Merlot for the reds, Semillon and Sauvignon Blanc for the whites. So the white you have in front of you, and the red, maybe we'll get a chance to taste a little bit. They're all Bordeaux-style wines. The white is the typical white Bordeaux, perfect with oysters and scallops. And the reds are full-bodied reds, a little over 14% alcohol. And the Cabernet is perfect for venison, for leg of lamb, for standing rib roast, anything with lots of flavors. And our other red wine, the Terzetto, is a blend also of the three red varieties, but in equal proportions. Comes across as much softer and is ideal with sort of slightly different dishes like duck à l'orange, the way the French do it, or, as I got to know it in Alabama, venison on chocolate sauce, fantastic dish. Oh. Pheasant, stuffed traditionally, which includes raisins, and the raisins don't go well with Cabernet, but they go very well with the Terzetto.
Where did that name come from?
Duetto, Terzetto, Quartetto, Quintetto. It's Italian. When three people sing, Americans call that a trio and the Italians call that a terzetto.
Excellent. I like that.
We had this wine also for our son's wedding with a flawless chocolate cake, and it's a dessert wine. It's a perfect combination. Absolutely perfect combination.
Great.
And we do make, I think when we were out there, I pointed out the oldest block we have.
Yes.
It goes back to 75. We bottled this under the name Alexander.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that is sitting there across in the corner.
So,
but that's a little more expensive.
Mm-hmm. So obviously, Alexander's going to be moving forward, and I didn't meet...
My daughter?
Right. She wasn't... I met Alexander at the...
I know you did. Premiere. I know you did.
But I didn't meet your daughter.
Right. So, she lives in New Orleans currently.
Oh, okay. And she's not involved in the wine business at all?
Yeah, as I told you earlier, she's being involved.
Well, that's what I thought, but New Orleans is a bit of a stretch. I mean,
yeah,
it's commute,
but
so.
She'll be back. She'll be here.
Okay, great. Great. So this will be the next generation for your family.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And Alexander has a son now, and so there's the next generation coming.
And hopefully, maybe they'll be in the business as well?
Well, of course. Poor guy has no choice.
I can't thank you enough for taking the time to be with us this morning.
It's a pleasure.
This has been fantastic. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. You're very welcome.
You can learn more about Volker Eisler Wines on the web at VolkerEislerFamilyEstate.com.